Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Call a friend. Let them know that the break.
Podcast is on the air. We are excited about our topic today. We're excited about the Word of God. Every day that we get the chance to come and to be able to say a word, to speak the word in behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, today is no different than any other day. Our topic today will be live to serve God. Live to serve God. And our key verse today will come from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and that 7th verse. And it reads, "The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." That is the KJV version, and the NIV, it reads, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray," and that is so important. The study text for today is first be taken from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 1st through the 19th verse. And I advise you, if you have a Bible and you like that, take that Bible out. It will be a good thing so that you can follow with us through the Word of God as we study this important book of the Bible, 1 Peter. Central truth will be having the mind of Christ and a servant's heart are key elements of a committed Christian life. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and after which we're going to introduce to you the panelists for today's broadcast. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you and praise you, and we do magnify your name. But truly, we thank you, God, for the great and mighty things that you have done. And we thank you, dear God, for the great and mighty things, God, that you are about to do. Truly, we thank you, God, because you have blessed how above measure. And God, you are meeting every need each and every day. So, Father, we acknowledge you today. We acknowledge you for being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the true and the living God. We thank you, God, for once again to be able, God, to come before multitudes of people to be able to speak your word. Now, Lord, we pray even now that the word that you have given us to speak on the day, God, let it continually fall on good ground. Father God, through the speaking of the word today, we pray that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. Father, not only that the souls be saved, not only will the lives be changed, but we pray that bodies be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Father, for those around the world, from state to state, city to city, that are tuned in to this broadcast. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You are listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. I would like to introduce to you our panelists for the day. They are as following. We have with us Dr. June Normill. Dr. Normill is going to be speaking on today about have the mind of Christ. And her scripture text will come from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 1st through the 6th verse. And then immediately following Dr. Normill, we have Pastor Francina Shanks. And her scripture text will be coming from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 7th through the 11th verse. And Pastor Shanks' topic is, have a servant's heart. And the last and final topic will come from yours truly, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Our scripture text will be 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 12 through the 19th. Verse. And I have the pleasure of speaking about the topic, commit your God, submitting ourselves unto God. At this time, we're getting ready to go into our first topic. Each of our speakers are ready to go. They're excited about the word of God that God has given them. And all of us have 10 minutes to speak. And I hope that you will just get ready to receive of the Lord as we use our 10 minutes wisely as God speaks unto us. Dr. June Normia.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Good evening, Radio Land. I thank God for allowing me to come before you today, and also our radio and TV listener and all those who hear my voice, and the panel also. Today my topic is, Have the Mind of Christ. And I'll be reading 1 Peter 4:1-6, and it reads, For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we were walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, rebelling, banqueting, and abomination, adultery, wherein strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account of him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. I have read 1 Peter 4:1-6. And throughout that text, Peter, he was writing to the Christians who were enduring persecution for their faith. And if we are Christians for all believers, we must know that the word declared that those who live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So that means we also will have to be persecuted by living this faithful life for Christ. But we got to have that mind. But 1 Peter 4:1-3 is talking about complete obedience. And Jesus, he is our example for how to live obedient life to God. And if you read the Gospels, Matthew, all the way down to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they'll talk about the life of Jesus. And we should follow that example and learn how to do and live the life that Jesus did. That's the example that calls us to kind of have the foundation of how the mind of Christ. But Peter focused on two points concerning about having the mind of Christ. And the first one is Christ willing to suffer in order to bring righteousness to humankind. So that means we got to be able to do the same thing. We got to suffer to bring lives into Christ and to be able to do the works that Jesus did, because Jesus, even though he was sinless, Jesus suffering on the cross, it provided salvation for all those who believe in him, and it still does. But anyone who believes in Christ, they shall be able to have salvation and eternal life through him. But his death, it shows that we must also die to our sins in order to experience a spirit-filled life. But we as believers, we suffer for Christ. You know, that means when they say we suffer for Christ, that means by doing good, we have victory over sin. And as Christians, we should repent of any sin that we commit. And the sins that we will talk about, the ones inside verse 3, talk about lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, rebelling and banqueting. And lasciviousness is exciting sexual desires or extreme indulgence or sensual pleasures. And reviling is like to engage in festivities and no other things that doesn't glorify God. And also abomination and adultery is people that, and when you put things, idol feasts and things before God and perverted sexual orgies, when we get to a place and have all those different things and lust inside our lives, we have to put those things aside for Christ. And when we become Christians, we no longer going to live that life that satisfied our lust for flesh things that we were doing that didn't glorify God. We have to just live and focus on living a life that's obedient to God. And sometimes being a Christian, it may seem like it's hard to do that, but we still decide in natural human body. But you have to just focus on the scripture, I say God gave me the scripture, Galatians 2 and 20 said, like, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why it's important to keep ourselves armed. Being a Christian, to keep yourself armed, that means put on the armor of Christ with love, gentleness, complete self-control, you know, like Jesus did. We have to put that kind of attitude in pursuing God's will in our life, because our human nature can still yearn for simple things and pleasure of our past. But like Jesus, we have to commit ourselves to obeying God. And the second point Paul was talking about was complete separation. And 1 Peter 4, 4 and 6 talks about that. And when we become Christian and born again, we have to do. We can't do no more. We have no desire. When you truly been filled with the Spirit of God and life been transformed, that you, it is a time of and a place and a time of separation. You can no longer go to the place you used to go and do some of the things that you did and say the things you used to say that does not glorify God. And a lot of times, people won't understand that. Even your family members, people will ridicule you that because of that. Because even being committed to God, it does bring about blessing, but it also brings about persecution from unbelievers. And your family, sometimes they know you. They know what you did in the past. And sometimes by being a Christian, they'll talk about you. They don't understand you, why you don't want to go to some of the family function where you know what takes place and some of the things that go on, even on your job. You'll find yourself not even listening to the dirty jokes that people sometimes may say on the job and sitting there biting. You probably used to do that, but you find yourself not doing that, or either participating in some of the parties that they will be having going on inside of the company and inside the marketplace. And people sometimes they will talk about you because everybody's not celebrating you when you become a Christian and when your mind has been transformed and you have the mind of Christ. People don't understand that. They think you're strange, but the Bible do say we're peculiar people, but we just pilgrim passing through this land. And people will look at you in some kind of way and make you feel like that it's not always pleasant, but it's a blessing to be obedient to Christ and to worry about getting the support or the pleasure of things of this world. But people will, and friends, they don't understand. People will talk about you and they'll say things that make you feel bad. They even talk about you're a hypocrite. But as believers, we must remember that, you know, we was once without salvation, because when we talk about separation, that doesn't mean that a person that is a non-believer, that we just can't be in the room around them, we can't talk about them. But we have to live that life and endure the hardship like everybody, I mean, like as some soldiers do, as we being Christians does. Even Christ had to deal with that, but it all paid off at the end. But not only to say non-believers, even sometimes the Christians, they'll ridicule you. When you stand up saying you're going to be strong for God, you live an uncompromising life, and you stand for the standards of God. Even so, Christians that I even say, oh, you think or he think they so deep, they think they're holding it out. But separating ourselves from sinful practices doesn't mean that we're to avoid sinful people. But it means that we must continue living among and interacting with unbelievers, even as we hold to godly standards. And as we do this, we can be a living testimony of the powerful word and the power of the gospel. But it takes that, and it takes you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abiding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in God is not in vain, to have our mind transformed. So we have to just think about what Christ did whenever we go through hardship for things that we did do and things we didn't do. We think about Christ as our example. He didn't sin, and he had to go through that. But through his sacrifice and his life and giving his life on the cross, we was able to be grafted in, and by we sacrificing our life and having that mind in Christ, being able to be steadfast on things of God, our lifestyle will cause other people to be drawn into Christ. And I will leave this one scripture with you. When you feel like you just can't go on, you feel like it ain't worth it, but it's well worth it, because you are not longer, even though we got a natural body, but you are a spiritual being, and Christ depends on us, and you have to have that mind transformed to be able to do that. And Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Your mind has to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God bless you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Normeal. Dr. Normeal, talk about today and share with us how the mind of Christ. And I want you to continually to listen to what God is saying and what God is speaking through the women of God on today, because I believe that each topic has a message within itself. So why don't we just move to our next topic, which is how a servant's heart. And again, we're going to hear from Pastor Francina Shane. Pastor Shane.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory today. Well, he is so good. Thank you, Dr. McCoy. I'm speaking from 1 Peter the 4th chapter and the 7th through the 11th verse. And that topic, like Dr. McCoy said, is have a servant's heart. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye, you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. The word charity here is love. It means love. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Having a servant's heart, that topic. You know, the Lord wants us as believers to have a servant's heart, and we are to love one another and show one another hospitality. We're not supposed to have a grudging heart. Like it says, don't begrudge anybody. Especially those of the household of faith, the Bible says. It must begin with us as believers. And we are in God's household. We're part of his building. And so we are therefore are to love one another. And that's the commandment that he gave. He said, love one another. Thereby men will know you are my disciples or followers of me if you love one another. And he had the Apostle Peter taught us that in the word as well. And so did Apostle Paul. You know, the Holy Ghost laid that on them to teach us as believers that we have to love one another. That's how people going to know that we belong to God. So if they see a lot of things going on with us that are believers in the body of Christ, it's not going to draw them to the Lord because of what they see in us. And we cutting each other down as believers and stuff like that. So we as believers have to avoid that. We have to follow the Lord with all our heart and walk in obedience and humility. To have a servant's heart, you have to be obedient. You have to walk in humility and humble yourself and stay broken before the Lord. Keep a broken and contrite spirit before the Lord. And it will help you. It will be very helpful to you as a believer. And most of all, we are to love one another. And that's how you have a servant's heart. A servant's heart will do for others. We'll look up on the things of others, as the scripture says, and not just on our own things. We are to stay lowly in mind and spirit. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we should think of ourselves. But keep a spirit of humility and love one another. And that's what the Lord wants us to do as believers, to have a servant's heart. And the scripture says we are members one of another. Each one of us has something to do in the body of Christ. We're God's body. We're his building. And so we are members one of another. That's why the Lord has Apostle Paul teach that about the many-membered body. Our different parts of the body, like the natural body, each part of the body of Christ has something to do. And every part, every member of the body is important to the Lord because he does not want any tension or confusion or bitterness in the body of Christ. And so we must walk in humility and obedience first, then humility, and we are to submit one to another because we are members one of another. And walk in love. Love is the most important thing. God, the Lord gave that commandment. We are to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then Jesus said, love our neighbor as ourselves. So our neighbors, our members that are in the body of Christ, the people that are around us that don't know the Lord, they're looking at us. And especially our family. I know the Lord spoke to me in 2010 to be an example to my granddaughters, my grandchildren. And, yes, it has been very hard, but I am determined to do what the Lord told me to do. He told me to lead by example with them and and others, too, that are in the body of Christ. And so we that are called leaders, that are stewards, are ministering the word, we are to be an example to God's people, to his flock, his heritage. He said, be an example. Don't lord over them, but be an example. So that's what we have to do. And so, like I say, it's very hard, especially with your children, sometimes your grandchildren, and people in your family, because they're going to always look at you like you used to be. I've gone through that, where that's been thrown up at me. But, you know, I always tell them, I say, well, that was the old me. I'm a new creature now in Christ Jesus. But I've got to live the life before them so they'll see the difference. And so a lot of times when issues come up, for example, I had a little thing with my granddaughter, and I got angry. And so I had to repent of getting angry. You know, the Bible say, be ye angry, but sin not. And so don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so I did something, you know, slammed the door is what I did. I'm just being truthful. And we need to come clean. We need to let people see that even though we are leaders or ministers or pastors or whatever, we're human too. And so we're striving for perfection. So, anyway, I repented, and the Lord dealt with me. And, you know, my granddaughter came back and told me she was sorry. And I told her, no, I apologize. And so I had to do that to let her see, even though, well, I know Gran is a pastor, but she slammed that door. I have to let them see that side of me, you know, and just be straight up with them because people are looking for realness. They're looking for somebody that, you know, have messed up, but you can tell them, say, well, the Bible say, if you sin, you know, you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you all of unrighteousness. So being that example, having that servant's heart, I had to show her humility. This is what the Lord instructed me to do. And so having a servant's heart, we have to first be obedient. We have to show humility. We have to let people see us, you know us, not thinking we all high up or whatever. A person with a servant's heart is very humble, and it's going to show the love of God that's in them because they're looking, they're watching, and it's not so much what we say, it's what we do, because the scriptures say be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And so your family members are the first one that are looking at you. And they will bring up your path. And so, you know, we as God's people, we have to stay humble. We got to let them see that we are changed. We are no longer the person that they knew or remembered the way we were. So we just got to be that example to them and walk in obedience to the Lord and stay humble and have that servant's heart of showing the love of God that's in us and walking in obedience. And then as ministers, we got to speak as the oracle of God. And if he called us to be ministers, we got to do what he say in all humility with the ability he has given us to have that servant's heart. And we are not to have people like serving us. We're supposed to serve them. We're supposed to serve God's heritage in love and humility, and not for them to serve us, because Jesus said he came to serve, and he gave his disciples an example of having a servant's heart. He washed their feet. And Peter said, Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then you will have no part in me. He said, I did not come for you to serve me. I came to serve, and I want you to do likewise. And so we have to have this servant's heart. We got to serve one another because we are members one of another, especially they in the household of faith. And so I leave that word with you today. Serve one another as Christ has served us. We got to serve one another, not so much as people serving us. We have to serve them and be an example and show them and have this servant's heart. And I just thank God for his word today. And to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. And I'm turning back to you.
We would like to thank Pastor Francina Shanks for allowing God to use her and to speak to us about having a servant heart. I don't know about you today, but I'm truly being blessed each time we talk about the Word of God. Each time the women of God share about the Word of God, here we had Dr. Normia was speaking to us about how the mind of Christ, and then Pastor Shanks have a servant heart. And we are just so blessed, and I know as you're listening to the women of God that you too are also being blessed. How can we not help but be blessed when we can partake and when we can be doers and hearers of the Word of God, when God changes our lives through his Word? Now, our last topic would be commit yourselves to God. And that topic and scripture is taken from 1 Peter, 4th chapter, 12 through the 19th verse. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Committing ourselves to God. I believe when we began to speak of committing, I believe that it involves everything that we have discussed on today. I believe committing means that we are committing the mind unto Christ, our mind. As Dr. Norman Mills so beautifully said, that we have to have the mind of Christ. And we cannot have the mind of Christ. We can operate as Christians, as believers, except we have the mind of Christ. Before we were saved, we were sinners. But yet by the grace of God, God saved us, and he gave us a new mind, and he gave us a new heart. So how can we operate in any other way except in being committed unto him? As we talked about a servant heart, I believe even as Pastor Shanks was telling us about the servant heart, she's talking about charity. And she was saying that charity is love. And I believe that as she began to speak to us today, it gave us an example. It's not only as we read the Word of God, it showed us ourselves. It showed us how we have to commit more unto God. Not the old man, but that new man in Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that lives within me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. Sometimes there have been questions about why does bad things happen to good people? Christians, sometimes they ask the very same question. Sometimes they ask, why am I going through this situation in my life? Why is this person mistreating me? And why are this person not respecting me or treating me as an individual, as a person, and not treating me the way that I should be treated? But we have to face reality of the word. The Bible tells us to think it not strange when we go through fiery trials. And sometimes we go through fiery trials. It may not be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went to the fire furnace, but sometimes the things that we confront in our lives, and sometimes the things that we go through in our lives, it sometimes seems so hard. But yet when we have Christ a part of our life and in our life, and I think he shouldn't just be a part, he should be completely taking control of our life. Like Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's a Christ that liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So sometimes we have to be as those Christians that we are maturing each and every day, because sometimes we have to keep on through the Word of God. And I have to retract that again, because we have to consistently submit ourselves to Christ and don't let anything that would separate us from the love of Christ. And we don't have to think as being strange things that are happening, but this is the Word of God that's letting us know that these things are going to happen. And even as Christ suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise, because yes, we are going to go through some things in our lives. what the word of God, Peter is telling us, and my time is about up already. Peter is telling us, but rejoice in so much as we are partakers of Christ's suffering. And we have to think about that when we're going through different things in our lives. When people are lying on you, when people are despitefully using you and persecuting you, you need to understand that you are being partakers of Christ's suffering, and that even as they did Christ in a worse manner than we're being treated, or the people of God is being treated, we're going to have to rejoice like the disciples did in the book of Acts when they were beaten and they were put in prison. They were beaten for just teaching in the name of Jesus, and because who you represent and because of who we are going to go through some things in our lives. So today, yes, we have to learn to rejoice and know that our rejoicing is not in vain. That it's only for a little while that we're going through the trial that you may be going through. Somebody say, oh my goodness, it's just one thing after another. But if you just consistently pray, seek the face of God, the Bible says some things come by fasting and praying. I believe that and that you will be able to make it to the end, that you will be able to go through any and everything that is that comes upon you. Why? Because it is not you anymore, but it is the Christ that lives within. You know, while I was looking at this word today, and I'm going to go back to Dr. Normia's topic, have the mind of Christ. Dr. Normia, could you tell our radio audience, because somebody out there listening, and they may be struggling in the area of not being, it seems like they're not coming up, they're not doing, it seems like some things going on in their life that it seems like they do not have the mind of Christ. Is it Dr. Normia? Sometimes we haven't completely given our lives to Christ. Is it a part of that when we're not saved and you want to have a mind of Christ, but you really haven't given your life to Christ? Or are you really, it takes maturity? What do you think that will help somebody today, Dr. Normia, to have the mind of Christ?
Feel like you may be in a place that you're not ready, and then you come to that point. You can come to that point, but you have to have a really made up mind to live that life of Christ. You have to be willing to cause your flesh, what I mean by that, your natural man, to be able to expect to not be possible, to be able to be well spoken of. But you know you can embrace things that Christ had embraced. If you look at an example, like I said earlier, in the gospel, how Jesus Christ lived his life to the obedience to his walk with God, the same way that would give you strength and encouragement to know that you can do it. Jesus received persecution and ridicule of others, and you know, just like I'm going to say, it'll be partakes when you go through that same thing. But if you got a well-made-up mind and you really pray and ask God for that, God will give you that transformative mind. Your mind, your spirit will cause you not to even want to do a lot of things you used to do. Read your Bible, pray, fast, and read the Word of God, and it will take you there.
So when we think about the way that Jesus suffered, can that help us, Dr. Normia, to have a mind of Christ, the way that he suffered for us? What does it tell us? How can I glean from what Christ did to make me want to live according to God's word and have the mind of Christ? What can you tell the audience today to encourage them that they can have the mind of Christ? What do they have to do, Dr. Dormill?
What you have to do to have the mind of Christ and know that you can't do it is first know what the will of God is. And that's what Jesus did. He knew what the will of God was, so he was able to know and was able to give. Just know that it wasn't about him, but it was about others. And so when you know the will of God is for your life, and it also is to be the same example as being a servant, it also is to be available. It's not about you. It's about the Christ in you. But when you're giving up something to gain something more than somebody else, that's all. Just look at Jesus' life as an example and know that you can do it.
Thank you, Dr. Normia. Dr. Pastor Shanks, you know, you so beautifully talked to us today about having a servant heart, about having a servant heart. And you, and one of the things you were saying, that, you know, sometimes people want to other people to serve them instead of them being a servant to others. Pastor Shanks, how can a person have a servant heart so that they want to be, that they can be a servant to others and truly want to serve with joy? Not to just to serve, but to serve with joy like Christ did. What, can you help us out today? Can you talk to the audience just a little bit and elaborate on that, please?
First of all, they've got to love the Lord God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they have to, like you, your topic was commit. They have to commit to the Lord, surrender to his will, as Dr. Norville was saying, commit. That's what that means. Commit means to yield or surrender your will and do the will of God and do what he says. And doing what he says is his word, what his words say, because Jesus is the word. God is the word. So doing what he says, but love him first of all, and then you will be able to have a servant's heart toward others, because that's what he wants us to do. And show his love. His love is already in our hearts. It was put there by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So just surrender our will to him, and then we are able to love others as he wants us to and like he did, because he gave us an example. And that's it. Commit and surrender your will.
Okay, Pastor Shanks, I recall, and we recall as you were speaking today, and you were telling us about some things that you had encountered and some things that you've gone through and how you were being obedient to God in showing yourself to somebody that maybe didn't understand, but they may have said to you or said to you, because let me say it like this. The word of God tells us that we're all a sin and come short of the glory of God. But the word of God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Well, all of us, whether we are apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, we've all sinned before we came into the knowledge of God and before we received salvation from God Almighty and he saved us. But how can we, could you further elaborate on, you were able to be an example to your family when they questioned you about sometime about the things that you did before you came to Christ. Could you tell us how can people that are newborn babes and they have just gotten saved and they have been out there in the world and they have experienced this and that, but yet they have given their heart to God, and somebody come and say, well, you know, I remember, you know, you used to be out here with us, and you did this and you did that. Well, tell us, Pastor Shane, what would you say to that new believer?
Well, first of all, I've encountered that, and so what I told this person was, this new believer was, you can't look and focus on what I did or those people are doing or did. You have come to the Lord. You surrender your life to the Lord. So you got to let him begin to show you his way, because you've gone in your own ways for so many years. You did what you wanted to do. So you got to let the Lord show you his ways, because his ways are different than your ways, or human ways. And this is what I told that person. And so by that person being a newborn babe in Christ, the Lord spoke to me and gave me revelation how babes in Christ, God has to have some babysitters in the body of Christ, in the church. And those babysitters gotta have to take the time to be there for that baby Christian and nurture them, because they're carnal. They're newborn babes. So they gotta see God has to take off a lot of the old out of them so he can put more of his character, his nature in them, which he's put it in there by the Holy Ghost, but they gotta come into that place. They gotta mature, they gotta grow. Just like a natural baby. That spiritual baby has to grow. And they're going to mess up, but they've got to be taught to repent before the Lord and keep going. Don't give up. And that's
Thank
it.
You.
Dr. McCoy. You're welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks. We just thank God for a word from the Lord on today. And I thank God because God can renew our minds, and you and our radio audience today that have already saved, that is already a believer and have been on this pathway of righteousness for a while, we need to continually to walk this pathway of righteousness and to not to give up. You know, there will be trials that we're going to go through in our life. Every day will not be a Sunday. Every day will not always be joyful time that we go through. But yet, we can make it a joyful time because we can rejoice. I remember how the apostles, as we said before, how they were the high priest, how they were persecuted because of they spoke in the name of Jesus, and they taught the people, and they did signs and wonders, and yet they didn't like what they said. And they was insulted from what they said, and yet it didn't stop them from doing what God had called them to do. And at the point, they were put in prison, but as you remember, the word of the Lord tell us how the angels came and unlocked the doors of the prison and told them to go and preach the words of this life. Later, they sent for them. They wasn't in prison. And then they called them and wanted to know, why are you teaching in this name? And they were beaten because of what they did. But they rejoiced. And that's sometimes we got to think about. And it just get our minds, you know, and Lord, prepare me that when the things that I go through in life, that I won't grumble, that I won't complain about it, I don't get mad about it, that I don't get angry about what I'm going through. But God, it is for your sake. And because that I'm a Christian, because I've been born again, because my life has been changed. I thank you for counting me worthy to suffer. Thank you, God, for allowing me for somebody to talk about me. You know, so therefore we are not lifting up ourselves, but we are lifting up the name of Jesus. And again, we would just like to thank God for this word today, this discussion that we are having today on the Breakthrough Broadcast, Live to Serve God. And that's a really powerful topic, live to serve God. Isn't that something when we can think about, why am I living? Why am I living? I am living to serve God. I'm living to be his ambassador. Oh, I'm living to be a fisherman of men. I'm living so that I can live this life again. I'm living that I can let my light so shine before men that others will see my good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Oh, we have to take this word of God so seriously and to know that it's no more us, but it is the Christ that lives within. We would like to thank Dr. June Normeal, Pastor Francina Shanks today for being with us once again on the Breakthrough Broadcast. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you and magnify your name. Father, we thank you, God, because you're the awesome God. Father, we thank you, God, that we can live this life so that we can live again. And because we live this life because we want to live again, God, we can and will be an example to the unbeliever. God, we will let our light so shine before men that others will see our good work and to glorify you, God. We thank you today for you being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We thank you, God, for you being the true and the living God. We thank you, God, for showing us the way, because you are the way, you are the truth, you are the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but by you. Father, we thank you, God, that you have given us once again a word that's in due season. We thank you, God, for the women of God that came forth on today and for the radio audience that listened so patiently. Lord God, even as the word have gone through, God, we thank you, Father, because many out there will have been inspired. And God, they have a different look and a different aspect on their suffering and the things that they go through. God, today, God, they are feeling, God, that, oh, I can rejoice. I can go through whatever I need to go through in this life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, even as we pray, God, look upon the hearer, every doer of the word. God, keep them ever before you. Lord, cause them, Father, to rise up and go forth in your name. Realizing, God, the word says that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this word on today. And Father, if there's any out there that's not saved, do not know you as the Lord and Savior, God, you said, if we Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said, God, that they can be saved. So, Lord, I pray even now that those that are listening to this broadcast, God, that they will say yes to your will today. God, that they won't wait till tomorrow. They won't wait till the next day. They won't wait till they get 13. They won't wait till they get older. But, God, that they'll the day of their repentance, God, the day that they receive salvation, God, let it be today, today, God, let it receive you today. And Father, we just thank you, and Father, we praise you, and we, God, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we thank you, God, for those that are sick, Lord, we pray your healing power upon their body. Father, not because of their sick, but we thank you, God, for yet an opportunity today, God, to pray for them, God, that every infirmity, every sickness in their bodies, that they'll be healed right now. I send the word right now in the name of Jesus, God, to those that are sick, Father God, in their bodies, God, those that the enemy have come to touch and to take life, God, I command life to them right now in the name of Jesus, God, that they would live and not die. And God, every bad report that the enemy has given to them, Father God, that they will believe your report, that they are healed, and God, that they shall live in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Please join us on this coming Saturday at this very same time. May God bless and keep you. It is our prayer.